enemies in a nation combine together to become a nation. If the families are righteous, the nation is righteous. If the families in this nation, they are all law-abiding, the nation will be law-abiding. That is also true of the nation of Israel and of the church. The difference between the nation of Israel and the church is the size. But other than that, every church, its spirituality, whether it's pleasing or displeasing to God, depends on the family. And as young people, you are married to your own family. Some of you are getting married without children. And so you are already starting to build. The basic building blocks would be the father and the mother, the husband and the wife. If one of them is not a believer, it is very difficult to have a Christian because that person, whether husband or wife, will not listen to the Bible, will not be called as part of God. The Bible did say in 1 Corinthians 7, all you need is one father or mother to be efficient for that home to be considered as blessed by God. That is the purpose of the passage. But on the part of the believer to build upon the home, it is not the one party is not a believer. Also, if you are not a believer of the house, in other words, if you are a Christian son, a Christian daughter, and your parents are not Christian, it's not your home, it's your parents' home. Therefore, you cannot build a Christian home in that context as well. So when we speak of building a Christian home, the basic building blocks would have to be a Christian father and a Christian mother, a Christian husband and a Christian wife, in other words. And I hope that that is how you're going to begin your life, if you are not married yet. Because otherwise, you are in for a very, very difficult time. You do not want to begin one of the most important, the most important part of your life on disobedience. Because if you are a Christian, you never be married and not Christian. That is disobedience. You can then go on to different things. You have a wonderful home at the end of your life. A home where my wife is pleased with father and mother now that they are 15 years. Now that the children are grown up, the children are also following the Lord. The children are body and holy and serving the Lord faithfully. It takes a lifetime. A lifetime on the part of the Christian father and the Christian mother. To live and build a home after 30, 40 years of married life already. And then to look back at your own life. And to see that your children are loving the Lord and they are serving the Lord faithfully. It took them an entire life. And they know that their life is spent, the energies are dissipated, and what do they have back? But to look back and thank God for His grace and His mercy. Where will be our focus? This morning, God willing, tomorrow morning as well. Building a body. I hope this is your desire. And therefore, the basic building blocks. Father, the mother, the husband, and the wife. If you do not want to follow God's prescription of what the roles of the Christian wife and the Christian husband are in the home, you will not succeed. Because this is the formula for the Christian home. Given to us by God Himself, not by man, by God Himself. And so, therefore, it is now your decision. It is your life. Is building your home. How you build it, no one can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. So the Bible says, first to the wives. The role of the Christian wife, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. This is your role. There are so many functions and aspects of a Christian wife, God single out this one. You ask yourself why. Why is this so important? The key. God would have asked and said, well, the Christian wife should be very hardworking, should be very diligent, like the wife in Proverbs 31, which we are all very aware of. But what you are planning to get married, you must understand that you are the submit yourself and your own husband. As of the law. When man fell into sin, he was the first to sin. But she was not the veneration of humanity. It was only after Adam's sin that one said, we are man. She was deceived, and she was cursed or punished by God for himself. What was the punishment? Increased pain in childbearing or childbirthing? Then there was the younger people which we are very, very sometimes forget about. And that punishment was she would now usurp the authority in the home. Because God says that because of this transgression, the peace that you once enjoyed before the fall will not be given away from you. Because now he will rule over you. There will be this tension in the home from now onward, which is a stark reminder to man, especially to the woman. The increased pain in childbirth is a reminder of transgression. The tension in the home in the wife had this strong desire to usurp the authority of the husband, and the husband would now rule over her, is another reminder, two reminders. And we have a contact. We try to erase these reminders that God has given to us to help us understand that we need God. We need Christ. But these are good reminders. So we try to overcome that. And so for the pain in childbirth, how does an inventor a jab? Epidural jab. To remove the pain. But how do you remove the tension, the hope? You can't. The evidence is all around us. You can see the homes in Singapore. Where the man will submit to the wife. Where the wife is the one who will put the hope. This was very, very stark. But we evaluated the problems of churches in Australia. Somehow in Australia, the women are speaking up in ACM, the women are leading the home, and the men are like the sheep, allowing their wives to speak up and take charge of the control. We tried to find out the cause of the root of the problem. Why is it like this? They were not like that, perhaps, they lived in Singapore until they migrated down to Australia. They are talking to every single woman. This man, many years ago, he was still pastor of that church. Then our conclusion, of course, there is no scientific evidence. This is our subjective conclusion for us. The husband to go out to work. They leave the wife to take charge of their home and the town and everything. Then the husband, most of the time, do not serve in the church. The wife are the one who serve. And so the wife started to take over everything in the home, in the church, and then the thing comes back to us. Maybe that was the reason. The abdication of the responsibilities of the husband and the wife, whether ignorantly or otherwise, they have stopped submitting to the husband and they started to take over. This is the Christian role, the Christian function. And you are to do it willingly. He says, if God is like the Christian wife, I have taken away the curse from you. That's why we need God highlighted to let us know that as a Christian wife, that curse that was upon all men and women at the fall, when they were unbelievers, when they were still depraved, when they were controlled by sin, they usurped. But now that you are a Christian, God is now telling the Christian wife, that curse is prevented. You now have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You now have the love of Christ in you. Now God says, I want you personally on the Lord to keep on submitting, that is, to subordinate yourself to your own husband. Even at times when the husband is not right, he has to make the final decision pertaining to the home. Now, when he has to be right, I'm not talking about morals. I'm talking about maybe a decision concerning the direction of the home, whereby you want to spend so much money here, spend so much money there. You will have the final say. You can give your input. You have to submit to him. Subordinate yourself to his leadership, his direction, and his guidance. You have to do it as if you're doing it under the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you can do it willingly and cheerfully, because you are doing it for Jesus' sake. And that will be the key. And God tells you the reason why. For the husband is the head. That is the Christian hope. Just as Christ is the head of the church. Now, unless you see that Christ is not the head of the church, then you will have this challenge. And so when churches do not allow Christ to be the head, do you know what it means when Christ is the head? It means that church follows the Bible. That's what it means by Christ is the head. It's not just a nice sounding phrase that you ink on your wall. Christ is the head of this church. It's not just a nice saying. It simply means everything inside the church must be Bible-based. It is very practical because where is the instruction of Christ? What Christ is the head, that means he will do everything that Christ is in the church. The Bible. And so when the church is not following the Bible, you're going to have a big, big problem in the home. Because the people in the church, the families in the church, they're going to pattern their way of life in their own homes according to how the church will pattern their relationship with Christ. I'm sure you have been following what is happening to me. You realize as you observe all this, after the conviction, after what he had gone through, you know that the church did not at any time agree with what the government had said about me and Mr. Bobby. You realize that? The church did not discipline me. The church did not do anything. Instead, the church supported me. Sure, they have to be very mindful and careful with their words. They cannot malign the government, of course. But they did not discipline me, not at all. What does that tell you? The law outside is supposed to be much, much lower than the law inside the church. Because the law outside has Satan as God. And so therefore, compared to the Bible, it is a very substandard ecosystem. In terms of its righteousness, standard of holiness, standard of what is right and wrong. Inside the church is supposed to be the law of God. The Bible must be the guide. And therefore, we have a standard that is far, far higher. And he definitely has been convicted because the simple thrust of what he has done is he thinks that the aim justifies the means. It does not. The law doesn't agree. If the aim justifies the means, then you and I can do a lot of things that are criminal. Just because I have the right motive, the right aim, so therefore, my needs can be illegal, can be immoral, can be unethical. We cannot do that. That is unscriptural. And yet, the church did not follow that. So if you are found in a church where the Bible is not law, that means Christ is not the head. If Christ is not the head, how to teach women to submit to their husbands when we tell them that Christ is the head of the church? That is the basis for the man to be the head in your home. That is the basis. The husband is the head of the wife, even as the basis, Christ is the head of the church. How did Christ become the head of the church? The reason is he's the Savior of the body. He saved us. How? Verse 24. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, same word as a man. So let the wives speak to their own husbands in everything. That's why we have to do it. You want to save your home, you want to save your family, you want to save your spiritual well-being. Let the husband be the head. So you have to make sure that the husband that you are about to marry is someone that you really can respect. Someone that you will be prepared to hand over your entire spiritual well-being. Because that's exactly what marriage means. And that is your responsibility, that is your role in the building block of the Christian home for life. That's how important this is. If you're not prepared to submit to your husband whom you cannot respect, how are you going to build it? Your home will not be built on the right building block, it will collapse. God is never wrong. You follow his guideline, you will be right. There was a man who had only pieces and patience. And the wife of a girl, a woman, that he planned to marry had university education and a bachelor. And both of them worshiped in the same church. And both of them said they are in love. But the pastor and other close friends counseled them, please reconsider, think carefully whether this is the right thing to do. Yes, both of you embrace the same doctrine. Both of you are in the same church. Both of you say you are in love, fine. But are you sure you want to get married because of the great disparity? He says, university grad. He worked as a delivery man. She worked as a lecturer. Game-wise, vast difference. Education-wise, vast difference. So, they got married. After they got married, a few weeks or months later, the man met up with the pastor. So the pastor and he talked about many other things, and he was fine. And then the pastor asked the question that changed his entire life. How is your married life? He changed. Not so good, he said. Pastor asked him, what happened? After we got married, my wife and I, our relationship changed. When I'm in their home, and she and the family, her parents and the siblings had a conversation, whenever I want to speak up, she would tell me in front of everyone to shut up. Because she said, I'm stupid. In front of everyone. They were about planning for children. And I said, my wife said that she doesn't want to have any children because she said that she doesn't want any children as stupid as me. This really happened. It's not made up in Singapore. Same church, supposedly same doctrine, but she did not respect him. So called in love. Now, he knows he has no divorce. He understood this. He knew that. So he said to the pastor, right now I'm praying that the Lord will give me hope. I know there is no divorce, but my life is not happy. She doesn't respect me. And so a few months later, she died of a heart attack. The Lord will give me hope. Respect is very, very important because that's what you want to do. Submit willingly, happily, as if you're being unto the Lord. Truly. Now, obviously, you know from that account, marriage is not a simply same doctrine, but also same understanding, same quality. Your role and function as a Christian wife is to submit willingly for how long? All the days of your married life. And the only time when you can stop submitting to him is when he stops breathing or you stop breathing. Because God is the one who will bring you together in marriage. And since God alone is the one in charge of that, he's the only one who can separate. Nobody else. That's why it's so important that the person that you want to marry has to be someone that you can respect. Because he will have to take charge of your spiritual life. If you had a Christian father, a Christian mother who brought you up, during the time of marriage, you and I know that there is one part where the father will be asked the question, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? The father had been a Christian, he had been protecting the daughter, helping her to grow spiritually, he was prepared to do anything for the daughter, and now, out of the blue, as it were, he will relinquish the responsibility and now hand it over to the husband. Trusting in him, to do for you what he had been doing in your life since forward. Build you up, help you to grow spiritually. That's why it is very important that you very carefully marry someone, same doctrine, same faith, same church, probably carefully, and then one you can expect on all the days of your life. Because now you will have to take care of it. physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Help you grow. And that's why the Bible says, submit willingly, happily, cheerfully, as unto the Lord. Because the pattern is, Christ is the head of the church. He will now be placed as head of your life and in your home. Now that is the Christian wife's role. What about the Christian husband? Verse 25 to verse 28. You are never to take advantage of your wife's submission. The Bible said you are to love your wife, just as the weakness of the Christian wife is to usurp. This is the Christian husband's weakness. The Christian husband's weakness is to love more than one woman at the same time. You see this in the Bible. One of the first transgressions recorded for us after Cain murdered Abel was Lamech, a descendant of Cain. Two wives. Very quickly, we already taught that the sin of man would include the lust of the flesh. Very, very real. And then from that point onwards, you realize there's so many, including believers in the Old Testament, who had multiple wives. The champion, of course, was King Solomon. David was also a man with many wives. A man of the God's own heart, a believer. This is man's weakness. This is the husband's weakness. And so, Christian husband, you want to fulfill your role and responsibility as the head? You guard yourself. You must only have eyes for your wife and nobody else. And you are to love her with God's love. Because all the love mentioned in this passage is agape love. Unconditional, sacrificial. Only Christians have. This has been given to us by God. The love of Christ. The unconditional, sacrificial love of Christ. No one has it. If you are not a believer, you don't have it. Or you can think you have an unconditional sacrificial love, but it is not of Christ. Because that word is not limited to only believers, that in other contexts has been used to describe unbelievers, but not the entire phrase, love of God or the love of Christ. That God says, I have given only to believers at the point of their salvation, Romans 5:5. Shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came into them, they have also been given this special love. And so God is not asking Christian husbands to do something that God has not equipped you to do. God has really equipped you. Now all you need to do is to exercise it. You now have to love your wives with this unconditional sacrificial love that is according to how Christ has loved the church. That's what it means. When you and I listen to a person say the marriage vows, sickness or in health, for richer, for poorer, these are all not just nice, philosophical, theoretical sayings. These are real, practical, honest to goodness, covenantal words. That God heard every word that came out of your mouth, that God wants you to keep it because He has equipped you to have the ability to keep it. In sickness and in health, that means regardless of what condition you are in, if you get sick and you are afflicted with Parkinson, I will remain and take care of you no matter what condition you are in. You look at our brother Hyang Hang and our sister Cynthia. Cynthia is the wife, you know who's brother Hyang Hang. He was from another church. When he joined us, he was very healthy. There was a point in time we nearly wanted him to become a deacon. Very spiritual. And then he started to show signs of early Parkinson in his father. If I remember correctly, early 40s. And now he is in a very bad shape. After so many years, more than 20 years. And the wife continued to take care of him. If you have been attending prayer meeting, you will know his name is in the list. Pray for the wife as she continues to look after him. You know what is Parkinson, right? It's a very debilitating illness and disease. And she still will have to love him and submit to him and take care of him, just as the husband will take care of the wife if it's the other way around. God has equipped both of you
with His special grace and mercies to make sure that the home that you have can be a godly home. The question is whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, it's very hard for God to help you because God will not disobey His own word. If you don't follow this prescription given to us by God, and then you expect God to continue to help you build, then what does that mean? What kind of message do you think God will be giving us? Oh, you can disobey my word, you can don't care about it, you can just throw it into the wind, and I will still bless you and give you a godly home. Then this whole Bible can might as well be thrown away. Just let every one of us do what is right in our own eyes. And just expect God to bless us. God never did in the life of Israel for 300 plus years. It's called the period of judges. God did not bless them. God caused them to suffer oppression, famine, drought, enemies. Why? Because God wanted them, you have to come back and follow the scriptures. Then I can begin to bless you. I cannot bless you with a godly home when you do not follow the basic building blocks of a godly home. That is the Christian husband. You must continue to love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Remember the phrase, even as Christ, in the case of the Christian wife, even as Christ. Even as Christ now, both of you must follow Christ as your pattern. Nobody else, the Lord Himself, must be your pattern, your example par excellence. And if you do that, you are on the right track. Husbands, love your wives continuously all the days of your life, just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave Himself for it. Every father will be happy to give their daughter to you if you are prepared to give your life for their daughter, because every father is prepared to give their life to their daughters, their sons, their children, right? You and I know that. And they are doing it. They spend hours working to bring food back. They spend sleepless nights when their child is sick, no matter what. How painful, how difficult, how inconvenient, they are prepared to sacrifice, sleep, sacrifice anything for their son, for their daughter. And now, if the father knows that this man who is going to marry my daughter will do the same, give his life for my daughter, you'll be happy to give. More than happy, because he knows he's not going to be around forever. He knows that by the reality of life and aging, he is not supposed to outlive his own children. And so he will be very, very happy to see the daughter find someone who will take over his responsibilities to die for the daughter. That means you must take care of her spiritual well-being. And so you find in verse 26 and verse 27, two very important purpose clauses. That he might sanctify, that means make the wife holy, make the home holy, cleanse it, that means to have internal and external cleansing, purity, morally and ethically. That's the meaning of cleanse. Not physical, moral, ethical. Sanctify, make holy, get rid of sin. With the washing of water, how? By the word of God, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, that's what Christ did, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's what you must help your wife to become. In other words, your wife must become more and more holy and spiritual after marrying you. Not the other way around. It will break the heart of a Christian father to see the daughter becoming more carnal after marrying you. He knows there's nothing he can do now. He knows that. He can only pray and beg God for mercy and weep and cry. There's nothing he could do. He cannot come in between and tear your marriage apart. Because the Bible says, let no man tear it asunder. And so he will not come in. He will now only pray and trust in the Lord. Because that's all he could do now. He has already given the daughter over to you, expecting you to be prepared to die for her, which means, verses 26 and 27, help her grow spiritually. You are not going to do anything that will stumble her you will not take advantage of a submission. Where every decision you make, you think very carefully that it will be for the betterment of my wife's spirituality, to help her draw closer to the Lord. You must encourage her toward that direction. That's what you have to do. Toward the direction of spirituality, so that at the end of your married life, she will be one that is holy and without blemish. Because that's exactly how Christ wanted the church to be. Holy and without blemish at the end. And that's what we will be. Because the invisible church is made up of only believers. All in the glorified body, perfect, holy, without blemish. And that's what you are to target as the head. The spiritual well-being in your home now is in your hands. Not only must you take care of your own spiritual life, you must not take care of your wife's spiritual life. That's why during premarital counseling, this will be one of the key questions that will be asked of the man. To see how spiritual he is. If he can't even take care of his own spiritual life, what makes you think he can take care of yours? If you look at his spiritual life, seriously, all he thinks about is his carnal life. How he can enjoy, how he can buy his next beautiful sports car, whatever it is, all he talks about, all he thinks about, what drives him and motivates him, material. Hardly do you find any emphasis in his spiritual life. And if you are spiritual, you marry a man like this, you are in serious trouble. You can rest assured that in less than a year, you're going to be like him. Come on. You're not going to be spiritual. You really want to marry such a man? Because as long as you're not married, even after you're engaged, you can still break off. Engagement is just a private covenant between two individuals. There is nothing legal about it. But once you marry, you cannot have a divorce. No divorce. Till death do you part. That's why it is so important that the man, you have to be spiritual. Because the responsibility that you have been entrusted by God, whom you claim to be your heavenly Father, is very, very heavy. Taking care of your own spiritual life is one thing. But then to add the spiritual life of your wife, whereby you are responsible, is a totally different realm. And then if God blesses you with children, that will thrust you into another realm of a spiritual life of other lives from infancy to adulthood. That is a Christian home. These are the very fundamental basic building blocks. And that means you have to know the Bible well. Right? Washing of water by the word. How can you wash up with the word when you do not know the word? You have to know the word. If you do not know the Bible, how are you going to help your wife obey the Bible? How are you going to make decisions that are Bible-based? Because if the decisions are not Bible-based, you don't have Christ as the head of the home. You have your own ideas, you have your own opinion. Just because you're a Christian means nothing. If you do not know scriptures, that your mind is still very carnal and worldly. If you have been a Christian at the age of 20, you have 20 years of the philosophies and carnality inside your brain to be cleansed off. 20 long years. And you think that after you become a Christian, within a couple of years, 20 years of worldly carnal ideas can just suddenly disappear? You have to continue to study the Bible, because those 20 years will not just simply limit itself to 20 years, because every day you live, every day you go out to the world will continue to feel more of the carnality that you have enjoyed, that you have embraced in the time of your unbelieving life. And now that even after you become a believer, you think the world will stop bombarding, the world will continue to bombard. So you have 20 years to clean out the carnal ideas and notions of what is a Christian home, or what is a Christian wife or Christian husbands ought to be. You have no idea other than what you have read or watched on movies and so on. Now you have to erase them. And then in the course of erasing, when you are in the world, the world will continue to put more back in. And so you have to really study the Bible. Study the Bible to push all the old ideas, carnal ideas out. And then at the same time, to study the Bible to prevent the world from coming in. Because with change in life, change in responsibilities, it will change you. If you are not spiritually strong enough to change with the pressures of having a home, it will change you for the worse. When you are all alone, all you care about is your studies. Maybe some pocket money, that's it. Once you get married, you have the responsibility of paying your housing loan. In Singapore, that's a done deal. That's a done deal, right? And then on top of that, you now have to think of your future, your children's future. So now you start to think of your savings. Not just to save for a holiday, now to save for their education or whatever else. Now this will run directly against what you have been living and believing in as a single person, Matthew 6:33. Because it was so easy, and all you care about will be your pocket money and your studies to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, my studies, my pocket money, God will add to me. Now that was easy, and you may have done it well, but once you enter into married life, it's no longer just your studies and your pocket money. The whole equation has increased exponentially. Can you still seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first when you have so much every month to pay for your home? And then you want to have a car. That adds to it. And then you have all your amenities inside the home. And that will add to it more. And then you now start to hear the voices of the world. You must plan for your future and then insurance. And then what about if you suddenly forsake it? So you have more financial burdens added to it. Where does Matthew 6:33 come in? You have just simply pushed Matthew 6:33 out the window, and now everything is, I will do what is right in my own eyes. My family's future depends on my hands, not the hands of Christ, not the hand of God. What has happened? What has happened to that young man who had been following Matthew 6:33 all his student life, and now suddenly thrust into the big world? He collapsed. That's what it means by washing of water with the word. That's what it is. You have to have a good, solid, consistent study of the Bible. Seriously. Otherwise, the godly hope that you have will only be a desire, not a reality. It takes a lifetime. Because you cannot remember. Our brain is not meant to remember everything. And in a way, it's a good thing. Because there are many bad memories we don't want to remember. But not only bad memories, many things about the Bible we also forget. See, sometimes students in FBC think that after 4 or 5 years of intense study the Bible, that's all we need. After we graduate, we don't need to study anymore. That person is killing himself. You think you remember everything you study for the past 4 or 5 years in FBC, even though it might have been an intensive time? You forget. We forget. That's why you keep on studying. Why do you think the Bible is described as the milk and meat to our soul? You think God doesn't know what He is saying when He used that to deliberately illustrate His word? Milk and meat. When you are born again, you drink milk. That's the Bible. When you mature, you eat meat. Why food? Because that's what you and I do to keep this physical body alive. I shared with you all before, I don't know whether you remember, I was told by a pastor of this missionary to the mountains. He had no time when he's ministering in the mountains. He has to travel from village to village, no time to eat anything. He can only come down once a week. Whenever he comes down once a week, before he goes back up on Monday, he will eat one big pot of rice that will be equivalent to one whole week of meal in one day. His foolish thinking was, if I eat one whole week of rice in one day, then I don't have to eat for the rest. That was what his foolish mind told him, and he did it. He died soon after that. The body cannot take it. You study the Bible 4 or 5 years intense. Fine, good. You think that's it? What do you think the Bible did not say? Study the Bible without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Because our brain cannot absorb. Our brain gets tired. But God says you have to study the Bible just as you eat every day. You don't eat the whole week's lunch, whole week's dinner. You space it out. You eat portion by portion, portion by portion. That's what you do with the word. And so when you are doing this, obviously your wife will also be doing this. And then when you have children, your children will also be doing this because you have benefited from it. You know how wonderful and how great a blessing the word of God has been to your heart, to your soul. You want that for your wife. You want that for your children. So you encourage them toward things spiritual. And when you have not been studying the Bible, and when you do not find the blessings from the Bible, and you found your blessings in the things of the world, what do you think you will emphasize in your wife and in your children? The same thing. The same thing. Because if you emphasize spiritual in your wife and your children, and you are carnal, they look at you, they shake their head. Mom, you know Dad is a hypocrite. He asks us to memorize the Bible, to read the Word of God, to attend Sunday school, attend fellowship, and he doesn't do any of those things. You think the children are dummies? They know. They know. The basic building block, the Christian wife. The basic building block, the Christian husband. Your roles. Either one of you do not follow the role, the building will crack and fracture and collapse. It will not work. That's why the responsibility is in the husband. No longer in the father, no longer in the mother, and for your information, also not in the church. It's in you. It's your family. We can only guide you. We can only provide you with the environment and the equipment, but what you do with the environment and the equipment to help you become a better Christian wife, a better Christian husband, we can't do that for you. Just like I can't eat your food for you and you will feel full. No matter how close you are, I know when you get married, husband and wife, they are one. But you may be one, but you still have two different stomachs, you know that, right? I mean, if only when I eat my food, my wife is full, she will not have that problem of gastric. Right? Same in the spiritual. It's your family. It's your responsibility. We can help you, we can assist you, but we can't do it for you. You have to do it. And then the cement and the glue for this building block, verse 29 to verse 33, very quickly. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord and the church. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. The cement for the building blocks is Jesus Christ. It's Christ, that means the word of God. Nothing else. You want your home to be a godly home? The word of God is the cement. Not a big bungalow. Not lots of money. Not luxury. I was very heartbroken during Chinese New Year because on the day itself, I received a phone call from a wife and a husband who live in a huge bungalow, swimming pool, gym, even his own lift. And the lift that they have is more expensive than our lift. It's made in Germany. Ours is, I think, China, Korea, maybe better than Japan. I do not know. You know what she said? I want my husband to die. Not just to die, I want him to die a most painful death because what he has done to me. What did he do? He did not wake me up when he left home. to visit during Chinese New Year. I know this was the tip of the iceberg, because it is so insignificant, it's trivial. I mean, to you and me, it's trivial, right? But the whole thing boiled over to such a point, whereby their big, fanciful, comfortable home did not at any time, not even in the slightest, heal that rift in the relationship. The cement is not dollars and cents. The cement is not the size of your landed property. The cement that will bond and bind your godly home until the world cannot assault it, the world can't even crack it, it is solid, strong, and good, is the will of God, is Christ. Because that's exactly what Christ wants for the church. That is exactly what Christ used for the church, for us to be strong, to be united with Christ. Is it not the word of God? When you have the word of God, you have the mind of God. Do you realize that? When you have the mind of God, even the cunning devices and the deceptions of the devil cannot penetrate. Because you are wiser than him. You have the mind of God. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. The wisdom of God before there was any creation. The wisdom of God was already there. You read Proverbs. Wisdom is personified as if it was a person, a woman, telling us before the foundation of the world, before there were angels, before there was heaven and earth, I already existed. You have this. If you have the word of God, that's how important the word of God is in cementing your role as a Christian wife and a Christian husband. First, you must desire. First, of course, you have to be a Christian. And then you have to have a desire to fulfill your role as God has prescribed for you, for the Christian wife and the Christian husband. For the Christian husband, I hope you really have a desire to lead the home. And at the end of your life, 20, 30 years down the road, when you look back, you are pleased with the family that God has given to you to do. That your children are godly. The children are now in their early 20s. Because 20, 30 years from now, that's exactly what they will be. And then they are serving the Lord, they're worshiping the Lord, and they are good examples for Christ. And you look back, is this what you want for your children, your family? Or do you want to another picture where your children are not interested in anything about Christ? All they care about is the world, the world, the world. They drink, they smoke, they gamble, but they have lots of money and they live it up. Is that what you want? 20, 30 years now, when you look back, when the best years of your life are gone, when your energies are set and draining. And you look back, because that's what you must bear in mind when you begin to build right now at your age as a young adult. You talk to some of the adults, they are in between the senior adults and the golden years. Their children are older than yours, teenagers. You talk to them how they are building midway of their lives. Then you talk to those who are the senior adults, where they have already more or less completed building. And when they look back, you talk to them, they will have regrets. All of us have regrets. There are many areas I wish I could improve on. We all have. You talk to them. And then you learn from the mistakes, if there are any. I'm sure there will be. Don't make their mistakes, because the price is the souls of your sons and your daughters. That's how important you are. Whether your children come to know Christ, it all depends on you, the parents, because you have the greatest influence on them than anyone else, not even the pastor. You have the greatest influence, not their Sunday school teacher. You. Either for good, that is for Christ, or for evil, that is for the devil. That's how important you are. And so the cement that will bind your home solid and strong is the word of God. Christ. Nobody else. The basic building blocks. Christian wife, Christian husband, cement, the word of God. So the more the word of God you use, the stronger will be the bond. And whatever challenges you're going to face in life, your godly home will not even crack. It will remain strong and stable, and whatever the vicissitudes of life and whatever the world may throw at you, you will have a solid, godly hope where Christ is the foundation and the word of God is the cement. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this retreat. We thank you, Father, for life in Christ. We thank you, Father, for families. For some who may be thinking of a family, getting married. For others who are already married, grant to us the necessary wisdom from Holy Scriptures to do what is right, not only in the eyes of man for a holy witness, but to do what is right in the eyes of God Almighty. For one day we all have to stand before thee to give an account of how we have lived our lives and how we have looked after our families, the family that you have entrusted to us, that you have blessed us with. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may the word of God continue to illumine our hearts and our minds, that these young adults may truly evaluate their lives where it is right now in light of God's holy word, and do what is right to make all the changes they need in order to have a godly home. I pray, O Lord, that these young people truly are born again in Christ Jesus, and the desire for a godly home is not an option, but a command that you have given to all of us as your children, saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the rest of the retreat and bless the time of discussion later on. These young people may truly provoke one another unto love and to good works, and to help one another grow and help one another to have truly a godly home. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.